Good morning, saints. To our guests as well, good morning. We thank you for joining us this morning. We hope and pray that if you have not yet done so, you're willing to share your information with us, your contact information with us, so we may be able to keep in contact with one another. And that if you have any questions about the Bible or what your salvation status is, we would love to engage in that conversation with the Bible open so that together we can seek God's counsel when it comes to this matter. Once again, I want to thank the brothers who took this place last week, who covered for this servant last Sunday, as our elders gave me some time for breathing, if you will. But thank you all for also being here, and we hope and pray that as this new 2022 begins, we seek to bear even more fruit than what we bared last year. Excuse me. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. The lessons from Ezekiel is what has been assigned to this servant for this first quarter of 2022. Lessons from Ezekiel. And we begin, brethren, here at chapter 37, where we will be reading verses 1 through 14 before we get into our prayer. The Word of God says the following: "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God on these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter you into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had commanded, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our beloved Father and our majestic King, we humbly and reverently bow before thy throne of grace. We bow at thy feet, Father, giving thee the honor, the glory, and only thou art worthy of our worship. Father, as we seek to stand before thee in spirit and in truth, we seek to stand before thee in holiness, with a heart, Father, that is sincere in thy sight. Father, we offer thee praise from our lips, fruit of our lips, Father, thanking thee, praising thee, and glorifying thee, for truly thou art merciful and thou art worthy. Lord, as we begin this first quarter of this 2022, allow us, Father, to be able to take lessons from thine inspired Ezekiel, that we, Father, may be able to learn, Father, lessons that were taught to thy people at that time that are still applicable to us today. That we, Father, may listen intently, that we may put away any strife, any worries, any thoughts that are not beneficial to us grow, Father, and allow us, Father, to listen with an open mind, and to pay close attention to the words of thy servant who seeks to speak as thy oracle. Please be with us, Father. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us when we have not been strong before temptation. Forgive us when we have not been in control of our spirits, Father. But please grant us, Lord, the strength, the guidance, and the wisdom so that we may learn and continue to improve always in thy sight. Father, we ask this not because we are deserving, nor because we are worthy, but we do it, Father, in the precious and glorious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have entitled our lesson this morning, A Brief Summary of Ezekiel. As I've already mentioned, the quarter of 2022, the first quarter of 2022, our elders have assigned lessons from Ezekiel. As you can tell from the title itself, it means that we're not going to see the entire book detail by detail or verse by verse, but rather we're going to take certain lessons as it is allowed within the time frame. Lessons that were spoken to a people who, as we saw in our Bible study this morning, were in a captivity. We mentioned already that along with Ezekiel, Daniel and Jeremiah were all contemporaries of one another. But it is interesting when you pay close attention to where they were found at this time when the people had been taken captive by Babylon. We mentioned already that the first captivity, Daniel, was taken by the king of Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. And as we know from the book of Daniel, Daniel was there amongst the royal courts as a member and advisor of the king. Ezekiel was taken in the second deportation of the Jews. And we see from Ezekiel's own hand, as in Ezekiel chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 teaches us, that he was with the captives there near the river Kabar. We see that Ezekiel was there with the people who had been taken captive. And the Bible teaches us, Ezekiel himself reveals, that he was a priest, just like Jeremiah was, that he was of the descendants of Levi. But then Jeremiah, brethren, was left there at Jerusalem. Jeremiah was spared being taken captive. We see that Jeremiah remained there with the people that were left behind by the captain of the guard. And even though these people went and left, running away from their crimes to Egypt, Jeremiah follows them all the way to Egypt, and it is there in Egypt where eventually he is slain by the same people that he was trying to save and convince from stopping sin against God. So we see God's mercy, brethren. We see God's love. How it is that God covered all, if you will, the bases when it came to making sure that whether there were Jews in the royal court, whether there were Jews there amongst the captives, or whether they were left there at Jerusalem, God did not spare any one of his prophets to make sure that they always received his word. But for us to be able to take lessons from the book of Ezekiel, we have to understand the book itself. And hence why today we're going to be focusing on a brief introduction, if you will, a brief summary here in the morning, and later tonight, God willing, we will be seeing the key phrases taken from this book, which just in this chapter, you've already found them at least twice mentioned. But this chapter, brethren, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, is a great summary of the book itself. This chapter, if you will, is the middle or the center of the book itself. Because in this book, we see the book of Ezekiel summarized. We see the point of God's messenger as he is giving him this message. You see, there are four words that can be used to define the book of Ezekiel. And in the time that we have allotted, I want us to see those four words, which are instrumental in teaching us what the focus and the purpose of the book is. And notice how those four words are found perfectly fit into this vision that God is showing Ezekiel as he is there in the Valley of the Dry Bones. The first word, brethren, that Ezekiel we learn from is sin. The word sin, brethren, is shown here. And notice how there in verses 1 and 2, we are told about the valley was full of bones. They were very dry and there were very many, says Ezekiel. You see, sin, brethren, is a disease that makes us become sick and very sick to our soul. When we read this passage, brethren, we see how God was showing Ezekiel how the consequences of sin had been manifested by leaving that valley full of bones. Notice, brethren, there at verse 11, how God says, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." This is why our Bible class was so important before we began our lesson this morning. This is why it was important for us to understand why we had to see that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 62, Solomon had dedicated the temple, but by the time we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 and 16, verse 15 at the end says, or excuse me, verse 16 at the end says that there was no more remedy. Observe how there the Bible is telling us, how God the Holy Spirit is telling us that His people were very sick. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And here the prophet, 100 years before, tells us just how sick his people were. And keep in mind that Isaiah uses or speaks this prophecy even before they were taken captive the first time. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. "Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the feet even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound or soothed with ointment." We go down a few more verses here in chapter 1. Notice the plea that God gives them. Verse 15, "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil." You see, this is how sin, brethren, infects us. It is insidious. It is very contagious. And it is deadly. Notice how the Bible describes that from the head, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, everything was infected. There was nothing left healthy by sin. When Ezekiel is shown this valley, what Ezekiel is astonished by is the fact that the valley was very full of bones. Notice the adjectives used by the prophet there. They weren't just full of bones, they were very full. There were very many bones there. And then God tells Ezekiel, this is the whole house of Israel. In other words, the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south. The book of Ezekiel, brethren, teaches us the dire consequences of sin. The book of Ezekiel teaches us by answering the question why. Remember that Ezekiel was speaking to those who were in captivity. They were in Babylon. They were already there. They had been the second deportation from Jerusalem to the kingdom of Babylon. They were wondering why God would call a pagan king my servant. They were wondering why God would allow His chosen people to be taken captive. They were wondering why. Why would God keep them there for 70 years? And the answer was because of your sins. The answer that God provides for them was because you were very sick from your sins. Therefore, when we study the book of Ezekiel, brethren, the first word in that summary, in that brief summary, that helps us understand the book, to have that in the back of our mind as we begin to take lessons from the book, is sin. It teaches us about the insidious nature of sin. It teaches us about how infectious sin can be. It teaches us about how sin will deteriorate our soul and how our hearts will begin to grow fatter and fatter with lust and pleasure and concupiscence. When we go back, brethren, to Ezekiel chapter 37, once again, notice how this chapter is a great commentary or a great summary of what this is teaching us. Because once more we see there in chapter 37, verses 1 and 4 and 2, how God is teaching us not only about sin, but the second word He's teaching us is about the punishment of sin, the consequence of sin. Now remember, in the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel is taken captive, the temple of Solomon had not yet been destroyed. But within the book itself, we see that eventually, a year after the captain of the guard had destroyed the temple, they received word that Jerusalem's temple had been burned. That Nebuchadnezzar had burned Jerusalem to the ground. This, Ezekiel was shown in the form of a vision, which again, we will get to hopefully sometime this quarter. Where the presence of God, is shown to Ezekiel in a symbolic way of leaving the temple. And what God was showing there, Ezekiel, was that just like what happened there in the first book of Samuel, chapter 4 and forward, we see that when God allows the Philistines to take the Ark of the Covenant captive, it was so that the people of Israel would have a visual that God had left them, or rather He had left them because of their sin, because of their rebellious ways, and yes, because of their idolatrous nature. You know, again, because of our sister who got sick today, we were not able to have an article. But today's article and the following, hopefully for a few weeks, we have entitled it, The Fall of Solomon's Temple. And the reason we've entitled it there is because we do our best effort to show historically and biblically how this was inevitable. How the Temple of Solomon had been made by the Israelites into an idol itself. How they had transformed it into an idol, and how this was not the first time they had made that same mistake, because as we've already mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we see that the Ark of the Covenant had also become an idol to them. Now this is interesting, brethren, and it's also very scary of how quickly we can fall into sin. They were using God's holy and sacred items, His sacred tools, the utensils that He Himself had consecrated, and they had polluted and contaminated by watering it down into just another idol. Therefore, we see that in Ezekiel, God deals with sin. We see the punishment of sin. This is why they were captive there. This is why Ezekiel was speaking to the people. Keep in mind that Ezekiel was a priest. Daniel was part of the noble family. And when you go to the second book of Kings, the final chapter, you read that Nebuzaradan, probably most mispronounced that name, but that's okay, left the poor to take over Jerusalem so that they could tend to the lands. There was no more aristocracy left in Jerusalem. The punishment that God deals with sin is swift. Please go with me to Exodus chapter 34. Now, remember that this morning we were able to see from 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 62 to 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verse 15 and 16 that a span of approximately 500 years from when Solomon opens and dedicates the temple to when the captain of the Babylonian guard burns it down. Approximately 500 years pass where God sent His prophets, where He always sent His prophets to try to get His people to stop sinning. And even though that did not convince them, we go even further back, brethren, here in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, where God had already warned them, where God had already told them, and where He had given them the reality that He will punish sin. Verse 6, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering," there's that word again, "and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." But notice what follows, "and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. In Isaiah chapter 1, 100 years before the temple was destroyed, God was already saying that his people were very ill. God was already trying to appeal to his people to repent. And God truly long-suffered. He was merciful. He was gracious in the sense that he delayed as much as he could the punishment that was due to them. But because they did not repent, because they did not change their heart, because they did not accept the cure, those very scary words that should scare all of us are written by the inspired pen in 2 Chronicles 36:15, the final part. There was no more remedy. Verse 16 to the end of the chapter shows how swiftly God dealt with sin. The final group that needed to go into captivity is taken. King Zedekiah, the last wicked king, rebellious to the Babylonian king, is punished by having his eyes taken out, not before watching the throats of all his children, the princes of Judah, slit before his eyes, and then his eyes are taken out. And to further humiliate this rebellious and arrogant king, bronze fetters are put upon him, and he is taken, walking, by the way, from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon, where he is imprisoned, blind, for the rest of his life. This is the punishment God tried to delay, that he tried to prevent. But even though 500 years from when the temple was dedicated to when it is burned transpired, God did not clear the guilty. He did not clear those who did not repent. His punishment, righteous and swift, was dealt. Keep in mind, 3 deportations happened. Even then, we see the mercy of God. Even then, we see God appealing to his people. 2 deportations before the final one, where he gave them a final blow, and then 70 years. 70 years as captives of Babylon, crying and weeping because they had no more home to go back to, because it had been destroyed. 4 words are used to summarize briefly the book of Ezekiel. Number 1, sin. Number 2, punishment. Punishment of sin. But number 3, repentance. The book of Ezekiel shows us how God will forgive he who repents. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. And notice how God in verses 4 to 8, God is showing the consequences of repentance. Notice that he prophesies to the bones, and the bones, when they hear the word of the Lord, they begin to come together. They begin to get sinews, meaning tendons. They begin to grow skin. But yet, we see that there was still no life in them. We'll get there. But here we see the repentance. They were getting put back together. We see how they were falling into back to themselves. If you recall in the book of Luke, we see in the prodigal of the lost son, best known as the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son, known as the parable of the prodigal son, when he repents, before he repents, Scripture says that he returned to himself. That when he came back to himself, when we go, we see and we read every time Christ would heal someone, when he would heal them, Scripture says that he would make them whole again. And we know that this means that it wasn't just physically, but also spiritually, because the commandment that came afterward was, go and sin no more. Brethren, when we repent from our sins, we are made whole again. Go with me now to Ezekiel chapter 18. Notice how repentance is indeed one of the messages found here. We see sin, we see punishment, we see now repentance. Chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her purity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exacted usury, nor taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and executed true judgment between man and man, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord God. Repentance. As long as, brethren, we are alive, we have an opportunity to repent. It does not matter how dire we think our sin is. It does not matter how profound and deep-rooted it is. God has the power to uproot it and clear it completely. When He shows this great valley, this valley where there were many dry bones, the fact that they were dry, brethren, should show us that this was an impossible situation. There were no more ligaments left on them. There were no more skin on those bones. Much time had passed since they had died from the consequences of sin. And yet God was able to put skin back on them. He was able to put them back together. You know, it amazes me when we stop to think about the imagery being shown. This valley full of bones. And when you stop to think that the right bones connected with one another. This does not mean that one bone that belonged to one body went to another body. No, the bones connected with the bones that they belonged to. They were made whole again. And they were made whole by obeying the Word of God. Notice that what Ezekiel was told was to prophesy to those bones. And he prophesied the word of the Lord. And when he began to prophesy, those bones obeyed the word of the Lord. And that's how they started coming back together. That's repentance. That's repentance. But, like was also the case at the beginning of creation, there was a body, but it was not yet alive. There was a body, and there was something missing to make it alive. Four words the book of Ezekiel is briefly summarized in. Sin, punishment, repentance, but restoration. Restoration. We, brethren, know it as salvation. Go back to Ezekiel 37. Notice now verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Restoration. He did not just bring the bones together. He did not just put ligaments on them. He did not just put flesh upon those bones. Because if there was no breath in them, all of that would have been for naught. What good was a body that was still in the condition of a corpse? What good did it do a body that did not yet have breath to be alive again? We see here in chapter 37, verse 9, how God promises that if there is repentance, He will indeed restore. He will breathe life again in that soul. He will again allow that person another chance at making right the mistakes he made wrong. In the book of Ezekiel, we see there's sin, there's punishment to sin, there's repentance of sin, but then there is restoration from sin. Notice the final verses there in verse 13. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all was conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Sin, punishment of sin, repentance, restoration. How can we say the Bible isn't inspired when the same message from the entire book of Ezekiel is found in the first five verses of the second chapter of Ephesians? A brief summary of the book of Ezekiel. We just have to remember these four words as we begin to study it. But not just because we want to understand the book or because we're going to study it. Because we, brethren, have to understand that where sin leads to death, repentance leads to life. That right there is Ezekiel summarized. It was sin that led them to captivity. It would be a penitent heart that would lead them to freedom. It was sin that got Adam and Eve kicked out of paradise. But it is repentance that will bring us back into eternal paradise. Even though, brethren, we may believe or we may feel that all is lost because of our sin, because we may feel that our sin is so grotesque, it is so heinous, that there is no solution, that we are dry bones, all discombobulated and spread out amongst many other dry bones. There is nothing impossible for the Almighty. And even though you may have a joint at one end of the valley and another joint at another end of the valley, His Word will bring it all together. And not only His Word will bring it all together, His Word will make those bones dry no more. He will pierce flesh. He will make that body whole. But breath, the breath of life, is what's necessary to live a second life. All Scripture is inspired by God. In the Greek, that full expression is only one word, theonoustos. And theonoustos, literally translated into our language, means God breathed. God breathed. And notice that the entirety of that passage tells us what the Word of God is good for. It is good to make the man of God whole. See that? Without God's breath in us, we are incomplete. Without God's commandments in us, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But we just have to allow that breath to be in us. We have to breathe God. We have to live God. We have to be godly. Therefore, a brief summary of Ezekiel as we begin this first quarter of lessons taken from Ezekiel. Every lesson that we're going to be taking from it, if our God allows it, will always be revolving around these four words that summarize the book. Sin, punishment, repentance, and restoration. Now, my friend, this can also be summarized for you in your life, as it was summarized for those of us who obeyed the gospel. You see, you have a sin problem. You are infected by sin. And that sin is withering your soul away. It's making your heart fat with lust. And it's darkening your understanding, as we read there in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and forward. But today, God has presented a solution to that infection. Today, God can wash away your sin. He can make you whole. He can fully heal you by giving you a spiritual heart transplant. He will take that heart that has been made hard from sin, that has been putrefied by sin, and in its place, He is ready to replace it with one of flesh. One that is new, that is clean, and that will work properly. But you see, that surgery takes place when you choose to obey the gospel of Christ in the waters of baptism. The watery grave, or the waters of baptism, for our allegory, is the operating table where your heart will be transplanted. But when you rise from those waters, when that operation is done, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 gives us a promise. It says that you will rise to a newness of life. You will be made whole. You then will have the breath of life in you, spiritually speaking. But until you do that, you are dead, my friend, in your trespasses and sins. And because God will not pass the guilty, perhaps right now you have been enjoying God's long-suffering because the punishment of sin has not been fully given to you. But please don't ignore Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus. If you are truly repentful, if you are truly penitent, then be obedient. Let the breath of God come into you by obeying His word so that it can make you alive again. If there's anyone here this morning subject to the invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation.